This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. We want to give you a free audiobook, folks, and we want you to be able to choose that free audiobook from over 150,000 titles from all types of literature. No matter what tickles your fancy, Audible's got it. I want you to go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack right now and get a free audiobook on us. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
The story begins right here on this bus. Line 144, the same route I took every day. But this day was different. Something was about to happen that would change my life forever.
Sometimes a simple thing's the best.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode, 189, and it's January 12th, 2014. I think it's important to note because it's the new year. It's the first time we've done a show in the new year. So, hey, everybody, welcome back to Film Sack. We're back, 2014. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me today is Brian. It was a panther! Dunaway.
No! Hey, I don't know about you guys, but I had an interesting week. Usually, I don't watch my Film Sack assignments at home. You know, I usually just watch them at home by myself. But this week, I decided I would combine my New Year's resolution of spending more time with the elderly and watching more Trejo movies into one giant night of mistakes. On a totally unrelated note, can one of you guys come pick me up at the bus station?
No.
In Colorado?
Also with us, Randy, always with the shorts and the camo, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott. Mm-hmm. This week on Film Sack, we're going to learn a very valuable lesson. If you're going to end up with your head on a tortoise, you may as well throw caution to the wind and hit on the next door neighbor who's half your age and has a boyfriend who's shaped like Rampage Jackson. The world will never know if the two of you actually end up banging because, oh, there go the end credits.
Right. Half. I would say a third. Maybe even a fourth of his age.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Nice Breaking Bad reference, though. I like that. Okay, also with us, finally, Brian, random giant fat British man in the house, Ibbot.
Was that Laurel or Hardy? I couldn't tell. Right. Oh, shoot. I'm just getting a text. Here, let me quickly reply to this. Sorry. Hi, Ron Perlman. I really liked you in the film Badass, smiley face. When are you going to do another Hellboy? YOLO. Love you on Sons of Anarchy. # please don't kill me.
Also, how'd they get you to do just two scenes? Ask him that.
Right?
That was the least Ron Perlman I've seen since Ron Perlman was in a movie. Badass is the movie, everybody. It's called Badass. Came out in 2012.
Not Kick-Ass, which I kept wanting to.
Which is actually good, the first one anyway. This is, whatever. Don't want to blow the horn quite yet. Maybe this is good. Maybe it's bad. Maybe it's something in between. I don't know yet. But is it not, before I play the Fletcher bit, and by the way, if Fletcher sounded weird in the intro and sounds weird coming up, it's because he was on an iPhone somewhere and couldn't get to his equipment soon enough to catch the
air. I did think he sounded kind of weird. I thought it was like an older one or something.
Yeah, it was a little weird, but it's new, and you'll hear that in a second. We've done this before.
You're saying Scott Fletcher recorded this in the 60s. Is what you're saying,
yeah, right? Exactly. All right. So it was a hell of an era. But here's the thing. Badass came out in 2012. Does that make it, relative to when we're now recording this, the newest movie we've done? Okay. Yes. All right. I just wanted to be clear.
It was released in 2012. Was it on DVD? Because in the credits, it kept saying 2011. Was it like
2012 is what the release date says everywhere I've seen. Wikipedia and IMDb say that.
Everything I have seen leads me to believe that no one has seen this movie until it hit Netflix a couple weeks ago.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, it hit Netflix about 6 weeks ago. That may as well be when it was released.
I remember a trailer late 2011, and I remember being a little bit excited about it because it looked like a departure for him, and he hadn't really had a starring role. I know Machete or whatever right. came out maybe just before that. I don't know. But it seemed like, hey, this is playing against type for Danny Trejo, so I'm interested in that. And then it kind of came and went, and I never heard a thing about it.
Right.
And then it's suddenly on Netflix, and suddenly we're doing it on FilmSack, and suddenly I'm watching it, and suddenly it's a big pile of shit.
And suddenly Trejo is crying. What?
Yeah, exactly, he is. Scott,
what's funny is, doesn't this beat out our previous newest movie that we'd seen, which was The Expendables, which...
Right.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to agree.
Felt like it should have had Trejo in it, but didn't.
Right.
Yeah. Surely,
new one does, right? I think the
surely Expendables 3 gets him in there.
I think he's in the credits. I'm pretty sure he is in 3.
I think so. Surely.
That's their last hurrah. So they have literally said, I think Stallone went around going, you guys, none of us are going to live much longer. Yeah. So they put it together. All right. Here is Scott Fletcher doing a remote on his phone, because this is the kind of guy he is. He is one that if suddenly things go awry and he cannot get to his proper equipment, he is still going to deliver something. He's not just going to call me and go, sorry, Scott, make something up on your own. He's still going to call it in. And that's what he did here. So check it out.
Badass. Loosely based on a true incident, this tale follows a lonely Vietnam veteran who bravely takes on two menacing hoods on a bus. When his heroics are caught on video, Frank sees his life transformed, but not for very long.
It's kind of intimate, isn't it?
It is, actually.
It makes me think he recorded that on my voice machine.
Please tell me you can... No, it sounded like he was in the John. Please tell me you can put the sound of a toilet flushing on the very end of that.
Crap, I don't have one handy.
I'm just bummed that Scott Fletcher on an iPhone still sounds better than I will ever sound in a studio with, like, foam core on the walls and
I thought the same thing. It's a little depressing, isn't it?
Well, and you usually sound better, Brian Ibbett. Tell us how you're doing.
Well, yes. Well, I'm doing better than I was than I have been all week. Just coming off of a cold, flu, Legionnaire's disease. I don't know what I picked up in Vegas, but
pretty rough thing, because you could pull like 20 symptoms from each column and just pretty much make your own disease.
It was like a Chinese menu of
I'll take a number one,
three from column A, and then four from column B, and
full of MSG, all that stuff.
Exactly. And then after an hour afterwards, I was hungry again.
Yeah, we haven't been able to do this since the end of the year. And there was just much going on with holidays and travel and trips and everybody doing their thing. And we won that award between then and now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So grats to us. And thank you, everybody who voted and helped us win in that highly contested category, I would say.
Yeah, it's a great category. It's a lot of good competition.
Sure. So what we decided to do is start the year off with a movie that's so mediocre that you'll wonder why you voted for us.
you know, it was a mediocre film, and I started feeling that right out of the gate. Like, we're the four of us have all committed to watching this thing that isn't going to work out that well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I really think it's fun. Mm. Like, there's something just, and I just want to read a tweet to you guys. It's Anna Kendrick's most retweeted thing she's ever said on Twitter. Anna Kendrick, the actress.
All right.
From Up in the Air.
On the 10th of December, she tweeted, if I could read just one script that doesn't have the lead do something stupid that goes viral and then gets an auto-tune remix, I would be so happy.
Oh, wow. This is the chick from the singing Glee movie too, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I have it in my head. Okay, got it.
Yep, and it's just like, exactly. This is exactly what this film is.
Yeah. It is. Okay. So let me lay this out on the table and you guys can pick it apart. But I really feel like this had so much potential in it. And it kept reaching for parts of the potential and then pulling back and then doing a subplot that had nothing to do with anything that was really dumb and lame. And then they would kind of come back to him and go, okay, now we're gonna see the thing you're gonna do. Because the idea of putting Trejo in his early 60s in a role where he's standing up for people who can't stand up for themselves, fighting the good fight, you know, urban hero, is a cool idea, and it can go kind of far. And I think he has good acting chops for the role. I actually think he's okay in this. There are moments where you're like, oh, dude, what are you doing? But there's other times you're like, no, he's pulling it off. He's doing fine. I really like him. I've liked him ever since he popped into or opened that the roof of that car in Desperado and threw knives from that were attached to his chest previously. Just he's a total badass, and this should have been more of that and been truer to its name. And instead, I just feel like it was squandered. It felt like the kind of project that, in the right hands, this happens all the time on the show, so I feel like this is a repeat, but in the right hands could have been really cool and really fun and way more fun than it is.
No.
We're going to disagree with you. At least Dunaway and I are.
Right.
So explain. Tell me where you're at.
All right. This film had no potential.
It had no potential. It's like an urban legend YouTube video. I mean, first of all, it is. The YouTube video actually happened. There is an old dude that beats up a black guy, basically.
With a big beard.
And the black guy is not that young either. He's like 50. But anyway, the whole story, if you watch the YouTube story of what this is based on, is they're stupid and lame. And what they brought here was just some kind of something for people over 60 to get excited about. I'm sorry I said it.
Well, no. See, I just maybe. That's maybe my problem with the movie. Let me just say it. It's not good. It isn't done well. But revenge movies are fun. They can be really fun. And this is not that fun. But I kept going, you could have been fun.
Well, the problem is that they didn't really have much to build off from anyway. And they didn't They didn't take the opportunity to even hint at any sort of potential to build off.
There was Death Wish,
basically, with an old guy.
there was more fan service in this movie to that video than there is in any superhero X-Men movie or anything else. I'm telling you, they constantly kept calling back to the video. I mean, all the way.
The one on uview.com? Is that the one?
The one where the time just does not seem to match up when you're like,
I mean, this was total pandering to an older age group. I mean, it was targeted specifically to my, you know, your grandma or even shoot your mom. I mean, because it's like, It was totally talking about how technology is stupid. You know, it's the YouTube and you're on the Facebook, you know, and every young person, everybody under 40 who encounters Trejo in this movie, except for the women, any dude is a total douche dick that is just, you know, is just instantly says the words to set Trejo off.
Yeah, I mean, but Randy, you said you had fun with it.
Yeah.
But you know how much more fun we could have had, right? I mean,
okay, yes, sure. But I mean, it's ridiculous. As a young man, the badass looked like Charles Manson. It's freaking hysterical. How can you not just laugh your ass off throughout this film? Like every time he meets somebody that doesn't really know him, they instantly recognize him and say, "You're the guy from that video." And it's like this so greases the skids for so many things in the movie. Like, oh man, they could have gone on with that forever. And there is going to be a badass too. I'm guaranteed.
It's called Badasses. It's already wrapping or something.
Awesome.
And it's Danny Trejo and Danny Glover.
Yeah.
See?
That's what you want.
There you go. Right.
The trilogy is going to feature Danny Masterson.
If they learn that, I'd watch that. If they learn their lesson, it's a simple thing. It's a simple formula.
Danny DeVito actually would have been the better.
Like the way the tagline goes, it's like, this guy's famous for this video until his friend is murdered and the police don't do enough to help it.
Right.
Then he gets revenge. No, the only piece. Okay. The part that's actually kind of gratuitous and horrible and kind of goes against tone is when he sticks the dude's hand in the grinder. Right. Now, there's your movie. Now I know it's a little rough and tumble, but that needed to be the tone of the movie. You've got it the other way around. The rest of the movie feels like a slow slog, hardly any action. It's not a good character study, so you're being slow for no reason, and you should be doing more of that. He should be on a rampage. He should be pulling that hat over his eyes and going to town until everybody in his wake is dead. Go all revenge movie or don't make your movie.
Right. Well, see, that's the problem, though, is that basically they took what was this, you know, this viral video and said, all right, what kind of movie can we build around this? And instead of thinking of something maybe, you know, maybe he does this, and instead of being loved by the community, he's chased by the police or hated by the police because they're
right.
He's taking the law into his own hands or something like this. No, they just take every single tropey, trope-filled trope and you know, jam it all in. It's every single revenge movie. It's not just one revenge movie. It's every right. revenge movie.
Yeah. It's like the Wayans brothers came up and said, let's do a spoof of revenge movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right. it's just on the spot with all the tropes.
Like, oh, there's right. Scrappy Kid on the porch talking smack.
Oh, not even talking smack, just cursing like that. Yeah. It's every business. Like,
there's dad who you know is going to be bad and he's going to have yes. to kick out
this
at some
movie
point.
Rivals Last Action Hero for trope density.
Yeah.
Oh. And Last Action Hero is about tropes.
Yeah.
This movie has him, for no reason that anyone could ever explain, go into a liquor store and it gets robbed. Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, while he's there. What was that doing?
They didn't even have a good payoff because he wanted that guy to spot him $2. Exactly. I would have sure liked to have seen some resolution there.
The liquor store gets robbed just after the guy doesn't want to help him out. The liquor right. store clerk doesn't yeah. want to help him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting Spider-Man vibe there. It's like the right. thing.
And the resolution is he's shown walking down the street carrying a $50 or $60 bottle of tequila.
Right.
And it's like you have to, if you don't know that that's a $50 or $60 bottle of tequila, nothing.
Right. It's a waste. No you resolution. Wasted your time. Yep.
You get the follow-up and the kid, you know, he says, oh, why are you cholos drinking that kind of? I'm like, what? I had to look that up. I'm like, what is cholo?
I've seen a few episodes of
that's what all the kids are saying on Twitter these days.
Sure.
Apparently so.
It's just, you know, I get excited at the beginning, but I knew there was trouble because the thing starts with that great, I don't know the song. It's in Spanish. It's great. It reminds me of who were the guys that did like the La Bamba remake?
Los Lobos.
Los Lobos. It's like that style. I love that, dude. Rockabilly Mexican music stuff.
Right.
Awesome.
Can we talk about a few things that, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, when they kick that off and it's right. going and they're showing this montage of kind of upscale LA and then a shot of some terrible thing with a bunch of graffiti. I'm like, all right, I'm in the zone here. This is, I like this kind of storytelling. This is cool so far. And then they showed me uview.com. Mm-hmm, right. And then they showed me
LANN.
Yeah. CNN's fake site.
Right.
And I went, oh no, this means they're avoiding having to pay people money to use their names and stuff. And later they went ahead and just showed YouTube in the middle yeah. of the movie. Yeah.
Oh, so, okay, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I, what I was left with is this feeling of, oh, well, this is going to be just terrible because they're already skimping all these corners just to get their credits out. And they're already doing that. I mean, and then noticing that Perlman's in there for 5 minutes, maybe three lines.
he, there's no way he worked for more than one day to make his part of the film.
Oh, a day one is pushing day. It. I think a couple of hours between shoots of other things he was getting paid for, probably.
No makeup or anything. He probably just walked on the set and said, let's do this.
This Craig Moss guy who directed the thing.
Ron Perlman never looks like he's wearing makeup unless he's Hellboy.
This guy's made movies you guys would hate because we've talked about hating these before.
He's already made one at least.
Well, listen to these movies. 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. That's a movie.
Are you serious?
He directed a movie called, that's after Badass, so that was last year. Mm-hmm. Before that, Breaking Wind, a parody of the Breaking Dawn mm-hmm. or the whatever, Twilight bullcrap.
Oh, mm-hmm. I remember seeing commercials for that.
Before that, the 41-year-old virgin who knocked up Sarah Marshall and felt super bad about it.
This makes this makes so much sense because these are all parody movies. Mm-hmm. I did not. Okay, so now it makes sense.
But it's not a good parody movie if that's what this is, because I didn't feel that at all. Like, these other ones would have been on the nose about it. Like even the covers of these DVDs, they all look like ripoffs of the thing they're making fun of. But in this case, in Badass's case, I think they were trying to take themselves seriously for a lot of it, and then an old lady would fall and say, this is great, I haven't had a man on top of me in years, or whatever. It's just terrible. So when I saw all that stuff, I went, oh, okay, well, I'm only 15 minutes in. I'm going to have to, this is going to be bad. Yeah, it's going to be real bad. But again, I'm telling you, there's some potential there. There was something they missed. They just missed out.
You talked about how much money they saved on you know, not paying YouTube or CNN. Apparently, they also, according to the trivia, they also reused footage from Red Heat.
Yeah.
For the city bus crash.
Yeah, they digitally altered a version from Red Heat, 1988's Red Heat for the bus crash stuff.
And Red Heat, was that Belushi?
Yes.
Yes, right. And Schwarzenegger, right?
Schwarzenegger, yeah.
Yes, and they just had so much fun overusing that Final Cut Pro filter that puts a little red mist over when somebody gets hit.
Yeah, or the fake flames. It's like, hey, look at this. I've got Motion 7 here. I can put some fake flames in front of Charles S. Dutton.
It's kind of amazing how hard they stuck to the filter for the whole film. Yeah, I kept thinking they're going to eventually let this look natural, but no. Yeah,
never did.
You are going to deal with everything looking pastel green, whether you like it or not.
Deal with it.
The freaking east side of L.A. is pastel green.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like Jimmy Wong... you know what it is? This movie is like a YouTube channel video, and we would all be praising it had they just straight up done that. Like,
right, if it was truly ironic.
Yeah, this would have been like,
should have been a 6-minute Funny or Die video, actually.
Sure, but like have Jimmy Wong or somebody just put together an hour thing and Trejo just happens to be in it. The internet would explode with excitement because they don't expect it to hit all the high quality notes that film, you know, you're supposed to aim for when you're putting out a movie theatrically like this. Instead, we would have just said, oh, it's like a digital short, or it's like, you know, something Will Ferrell did in his spare time or something. And we would have been fine with it. But because it's not, I feel like I'm going to be harsher on it because this was supposed to be a straight up movie that you would pay $8 for and sit and watch for 2 hours. And it's not good.
I don't know. If it had been advertised differently, I might have been tricked into going to see it at the theater. Like, if it had been advertised as having a stinking bus chase, oh my God, bus chase.
Yeah.
I love the thought of a tricked Randy in the movie theater going, yeah. Oh no.
No.
Oh no.
I saw this in Red Heat. This is bullcrap. Wait, Red Heat. That is the one with Belushi. You're right. Looking at that right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Danny Trejo in his teens. That's not how Danny Trejo looked in his teens.
No, that's Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, that did look like him.
That's Freddie Prinze Sr., I think.
When he was doing that whole bit where it was like a flashback, I thought, oh, they got the 60s era down. This looks all right. Oh, they got the Vietnam part looking okay. That looks kind of like Vietnam and, you know, the music matches and there's green helicopters. So it must be
it was
Vietnam.
B-roll.
Sure, it was B-roll. And then he shows up to job interviews to half a dozen places. Looking like he's
Davy
on his
Jones.
Way to
looking like Davy Jones.
Like Davy Jones on his way to a Halloween party where it's 70s themed. That was not legit. It looked like a parody of itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe he meant it to be now that we notice all these parody movies, but man.
Has Forrest Gump ruined everything for you, every Vietnam scene for you guys?
Kind of. A little bit. I mean, I was telling you guys, or maybe I was just telling Ibbot, but I was watching the director's cut of which is like 9 hours long of my brain.
Apocalypse Now?
Yes.
Oh, Apocalypse Now.
And really enjoyed it. I really did like it a lot. And I was on the treadmill for most of it, so it was a good workout for many days in a row. But point being that movie is pretty synonymous in my head also with kind of the look and feel of a Vietnam movie.
Right.
And I don't feel like this was that bad, but Brian's right. There was a lot of B-roll that was clearly like, you know, archive.org had a bunch of cool Vietnam stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the only time that you actually see Danny Trejo's character in the Vietnam era is just in like close-up scenes where he's getting tortured.
Yeah.
And where he gets his leg shot, and that's it.
With the After Effects smoke. Pretty
right,
good.
Right. Lieutenant Dan, you ain't got no legs.
That's right.
Anyway, I thought he looked like Castro, though. I didn't want to point that out.
And his beard and everything.
Yeah, Fidel Castro is alive and well in L.A., beating up people on a bus, which is pretty cool.
No, it's great. I passed around the email, the original video of the guy that this is based on.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
I sent it to... Okay. We've got a couple videos. We've got one where he's getting interviewed after the fact by some news station, and he's wearing the camouflage... Mm-hmm. Jack,
it's a morning zoo radio, isn't it? It's not
maybe
station.
Oh, but he's a vet, just like he is, and all that.
Exactly. Okay. He's got the hat. He's got the big beard, and then the actual video where he's on the bus. He's wearing he's basically the "I'm a Ember Effer" T-shirt that Danny Trejo wears in the film is this guy's shirt.
Oh no way!
He's wearing when he beats the crap.
Oh, look at that! That's totally true. You say here that he sounds like Dunaway doing a voice. let's play that.
Tommy, you might have to bleep stuff out.
Oh, it's only coming through one ear, damn it.
Oh.
Yeah, it does sound like Dunaway doing everybody.
He's got his voice on like this. Totally. I've been in Vietnam and I was going to.
And what's funny is that the pieces that they hang the movie off of are stuff like he talks about in that interview, talking about his powder blue suit that he was going to wear to go buy some pot at wherever. And you know, that's what Trejo is doing. He's wearing that powder blue suit and you know, he wore that shirt and you know, at the end, the lady keeps saying he's leaking, and what's the actor's name? Yeah, call an ambulance. They do that in the trailer. Yeah. He says, "Call the ambulance."
Oh wait, when Charles S. Dutton was yelling for one,
on and they do that in the YouTube video too. I mean, it's just there's more fan service to this video than I've ever seen. Right. Anyway.
Also, let's celebrate Charles S. Dutton getting up on the board for multiple appearances on FilmSack movies.
Yeah, right.
Good job.
MostSacked.com, everybody. Make sure you're going to MostSacked.com and checking that out. Let's see if it's up there now. I may be. I'm not sure if he's got that data in there, but yeah.
I was disappointed because I still can't decide whether Danny Trejo is a good actor. Mm. And I want to hang my hat on his performance in the Michael Mann movie Heat. And I think maybe, but what if it's just Michael Mann? What if he brought out like the best thing for Danny Trejo and this director sucks and so forth? But the movie never once gives him a time to just act, to just talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Like even when his next door neighbor takes him into her backyard and it's the freaking Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Right.
What is that? It's an acre backyard lot in the middle of the ghetto, and it's beautiful, and there's wood furniture and gorgeous everything. Like, it's just so weird. Her backyard is a golf course.
Yeah. Director's house is my guess.
Right. Yeah. Right. But anyway, even then, like, can't you just take 2 minutes and have her ask him a question about his past and he just talks? Give him a chance to act?
Sure. Because he did it a little bit with his monologuing, like his narration stuff I thought was okay. Like good reads.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were moments where I would get excited, actually. We were talking about the bus before all this started happening. I was on the bus. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. I like what you're doing. I like where this is headed. And then it would fall apart. But if they did more of that, not just narration, but just more... Let's get into the dark heart, man. Right. Let's get into the what makes the man tick. Why is he so he's got this twisted life, but he's also kind of a good guy and will stick up for people and play with that some. Build some real emotion and some actual attachment instead of this phony baloney where he's going out with a 19-year-old mother of one.
Right. Yeah. With the potty mouth.
Yeah, dude. I just looked up Trejo just to check here. This will put him with 6 appearances, tying him for 3rd place.
Wow.
With luminaries such as Arnold Schwarzenegger, David Patrick Kelly, and then Danny Trejo will be the 2nd place tied for 6 appearances on FilmSack.
Nice.
Right behind Peter
remind
Jason.
Remind people where that what that website is.
MostSacked.com.
Cool.
Where they want to go. It's awesome. We love it over there.
Love it.
All right. So didn't you have just a technical question. I know the 60s was a long time ago. I wasn't even born yet. But... didn't they have mail in the 60s? So,
right.
So if your girlfriend's going to break up with you, you didn't have to find out by showing up in your bell bottoms and your dumb hair and find out then she's got a 7-year-old or whatever.
What do you expect? He shows up. She's got like a teenager on one arm and a 5-year-old on the other. Okay, it wasn't that bad. But still, she was like obviously
one kid was at least 8. The other one was at least 8. One was at least 5. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That's did you start on these, huh?
Yeah, right. How long was I in Vietnam?
That really bugged me.
Man.
Yeah.
It's
obviously it's just such an easy way to start the snowball effect of all the bad things happening to this guy's life.
Yep. It's good his mom died. He's got all that booze. Anyway.
Right. They definitely were trying to, get you to have sympathy for him. And they went the easy route every time. It's like, okay, well, how can we have him going around smashing people's kneecaps and not seem like a total jerk who's lost his mind? Well, everybody he encounters is just a total douche.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's just real easy.
So the only troop story part is just the stuff on the bus, right? Like the rest of this is, there's no other part of it except for a few lines here and there.
And even that's not true because he wasn't the guy in the YouTube video for real. Wasn't like defending somebody's honor or something like that. Yeah. He was over there talking trash to his buddy, about shoe shining.
Yeah,
and this other guy got offended, and who is, by the way, admitted to being drunk in another interview. Yeah. And so it just kind of got out of hand, and as a 67-year-old beating up a 50-year-old, basically is what it was.
Yeah, he's not the new Rosa Parks, is what you're getting at.
No. Not even close. There was nothing but a bunch of idiots involved in the other.
He's the new Alec Baldwin.
Yeah,
right.
For a movie called Badass, I don't think there was enough badassery. You know?
Right.
Oh, I disagree.
Give me examples of where you were like, yeah, that is badass.
I felt like there was too much. Actually, really? like I was just saying the. the whole liquor store scene was like, how many times is this one guy going to get in a fight before he goes to the hospital and has to rest up? This whole story takes place over like the course of 4 days. And it's like 20 fights.
Right. The bar fight, the basketball court.
Well, he's called badass, not I'm a wuss, like take me to the hospital.
No, but he just didn't do anything that's
good for three fights ass.
Yeah, good for three fights ass and grind up a guy's hand ass. And when he did that, he, you know, the most okay, so I think they have equated the badass with the dropping of lines the way they used to do in the 80s because he did it with everything. So he grind up that guy's hand and walk out and go, hope you're not a lefty or whatever, and leaves. Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for giving me a hand with that.
Yeah. Right. And that's not badass. That's just stupid.
Right.
So show me more. Like, if they're going to, that's what I mean. Go all out. Like, go all out.
As much as I bash this movie, I think it's a must see movie.
Oh, no, it isn't.
It's must see for free.
I think so. I think on Netflix, I think if you've got Netflix streaming, there's no reason why you should not be watching this.
I guess so. I mean, right. Don't you feel like your time would be better spent with like Machete or something?
Oh, my. Absolutely. Yeah. But you should watch this too.
All right. Yeah. I still haven't seen Machete.
Yeah.
Sorry, Machete.
The two bad guys, you know that trope? Those two bad guys?
Yeah, the two bad guys.
He actually fights them three times in this movie.
Yeah,
three times.
Yeah, that is awesome. Kind of.
Seriously.
Kind of in a real stupid way because they were just so. Maybe they were trying to be more parody because those guys every time they show up, it was like, we can't shoot him, we can't fight him, we can't kill him.
Skinheads are to be funny.
You know,
right. Skinheads are always in a good mood in movies. You ever notice that?
Are they?
Yeah, they always get on the bus. They're all happy.
So, but can we talk about the trope of the two bad guys?
Trope of the two bad guys.
It's in so many movies. Man, I started thinking about this and like, holy cow. And I'm not just talking about like Pulp Fiction where the two bad guys are actually kind of the leads of the movie.
All right.
But like so many other movies. Like, I was thinking about the Wet Bandits from Home Alone.
Yeah. Watched that a million times over Christmas holiday, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah, I don't know if any of you have seen Pineapple Express, but it has this exact thing. These two bad guys who are always together.
There's like, always a leader though, right? Isn't that always the deal? Like one of them's a little more dominant than the other one? The other one's like,
One's dumber and yeah, usually.
Christmas like, Story. Redhead and the other kid. Right. Totally.
Scream. Right.
But then like Scream. Like, if you come around to Zod's henchman in Man of Steel.
Yep.
So it's Feora and Tor-Aran, right?
Yep.
Right, right.
If you say so.
It is. I got the Blu-ray for Christmas.
I remember there were more. Well, okay. If you go look at comics, look at anything, there's always a main dude. There's Magneto, and then there's in the first X-Men movie, it's Magneto and the Wolfman or whatever his name was.
But I'm not talking about leads. Sabretooth. Like in Fargo, there's two bad guys.
Yeah, you know that's true. They're the best.
They come in pairs.
They're my favorite. They did that right though. Like you can do the two bad guys thing. Those guys nailed it.
Usually
comedic if there's two bad guys. There's usually a bit of comedy to it. A little Keystone Cop-ish.
Yeah, right. A little bit of, hey, Ralphie boy, what are you doing? And the other goes, I don't know, Ralphie boy. I guess they're both Ralphie boy in my head.
In Badass, the last time he encounters the pair of bad guys, they're like, what? How are you alive? Right. And I'm like, how are you not running?
Yeah.
You guys should be just tearing ass down the street right now.
They also thought their way of getting him back in that final fight was, this time I'll film the assault. And if we film the assault, somehow that will look better for us.
It's like that's its own trope, too.
That was ridiculous.
I wonder how this will look on YouTube. I don't know. Gee, it's midnight outside and you're using a phone for a camera. It's probably like nothing. Like a couple little dots.
Low light, crappy artifacting is all you're going to get.
But, I mean, like, I'm actually going to read a list here just to answer Scott's question about it.
Right.
He wasn't badass enough.
Yeah.
Frank beats a bunch of people up. He blows up a garage. He probably killing two guys in the process. He smashes a statue. He smashes several cars and parking meters. An entire glass lobby. He wrecks a city bus. And what does he get? He gets made an honorary police officer. Scott, come on.
Wow, that's incredible. His ride along cop
collateral damage.
That guy drove me crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm. His cop buddy. I just knew he was going to be a bad guy. I just knew he was going to take that thumb drive and go.
Yeah. Hey, guys, let me break in here real quick and talk about our friends at Audible.com. Audible.com. You know, we watch a lot of movies. I mean, that's the whole point of the show, right? FilmSack watches a lot of movies. And a lot of those movies have audiobook versions. So if you're looking for a good adaptation of, you know, some recently cool movie, oftentimes you can find it on Audible.com, or sometimes the other way around. Find a great book with a great audio version of the book that then a hot new movie comes out that's based on that book. And for my money, the way to listen to these books, or the ways to consume these books, is to listen to them. The way you do podcasts, the way you do other audio content, you're jogging, you're commuting, you're sitting in a chair on the porch, chilling, whatever. What an awesome way to consume great entertainment. And there's so many to choose from at Audible.com. 150,000 downloadable titles. And that's all literature. That's fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, all kinds of stuff. My favorite genres are there: fantasy, science fiction, and so on. And I want you to get a free book. Just get a free book on us. It's really simple. It's no big deal. Piece of cake. You go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. And get a free audiobook download of your choice today. By the way, I looked up the fear. I wanted to know. I did this while I was watching the movie. I wanted to know is there a phobia? The name, because there's a lot of phobias, right? And there are names for most of them. And you're just always surprised when you find out that your fear of, you know, butterfly wings has a name. Mm-hmm. Well, I found out there is a phobia for the garbage disposal, grinding your hand up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I have this.
I think everybody has that.
I can't go near, and I don't mean I'm in a room going, oh man, what would it be like? I mean, I'll go in a room, someone will flip one on, and I immediately kind of get a little chill over me. Like, yeah, I don't want to do this.
Do you have trouble reaching down there and getting stuff out of there? Do y'all worry?
No, I can't do it. I mean,
do you watch the switch the whole time? It's like,
yeah, you have to, right?
You can't even do it.
Yeah, I can't do it either.
Ever.
Yeah. It's apparently garbapophobia and supposed to be real. It's supposed to be real. Now, somebody,
honey, I can't clean that out. I got garbapophobia. I'm sorry.
It's a condition, honey.
It's a condition.
Anyway, that gives me the creeps. So the minute they started playing around with that, I went, oh, even though I think I prefer that tone for my revenge movies, I was not happy about, you know, that. But I mean, think of a good revenge movie. Let's just pick one out of our heads. Taken. Taken is a good revenge movie. Taken may not be a great movie, but Taken is the most fun you're going to have with Liam Neeson in a night, probably.
Sure.
And the reason it's fun is because he's kind of dormant right now because nobody's messing with him, but he's got all these skills, right? That he's just waiting to spring on everybody. Mm-hmm. And the minute somebody takes his daughter or his wife or both, whatever the sequel did, I don't even know. And he's got to unleash all hell, and hell's coming with him. So he does his thing, and now you're looking forward, like in a good slasher movie, you're looking forward to his next victim and then his next victim as he works his way up the chain to eventually kill the man in charge. That is a blast. I love that movie for it.
But you didn't hit on what actually makes that one fun and this one not. Like, if you've got your template for the revenge film, something happens to this guy's friend, wife, daughter, whatever, and dog, and then he's got to go through all this stuff to get those people back. What is it that makes Taken fun and Badass not?
No,
and
it's Leslie Bibb.
No, that one was Maggie Grace.
Oh, okay.
This is,
let it begin again.
It's the uniqueness and cleverness in which he finds and takes out the people who wronged him.
Completely
and
agree.
In Badass, there's no cleverness. He goes, basketball court. Hey, any of you guys know Terrence? No, let's beat you up for a little while. Anyone know Terrence? Oh, yeah, down the street. Check with that guy. Okay, down there. Beat up the guy who's dressed like a father, a priest for whatever reason.
It really is the worst procedural ever made, because at some point he's in the backyard of some chick he met at the bar or whatever. What was she? She was a stripper.
Oh, no,
she was a masseuse. Tatiana. Yeah. And you got the midget from Seinfeld over the other side.
That was hilarious. I loved that.
And
it was actually pretty good.
I kind of enjoyed that part, I have to admit. Right. And also his lines were, I think, a little bit longer than Ron Perlman's, which is pretty funny.
I think so, yeah.
But the point, I know midget's not a nice word anymore, so I take it back before I get the email.
I was enjoying the Indiana Jones cutscenes with him with the bus map.
The magic hand would write.
Yeah, that was enjoyable.
See, when you do that stuff, I feel like the director's just like, you know what I always wanted to do? I wanted to have interstitial map writing. We can do that with computers now, right? Like, there's no real reason to do it. It doesn't match the tone of your movie, but you're doing it just because you can. It's like wipes. Like after Star Wars, everybody wanted to have wipes between right. scenes. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, don't do that, because now you just look like you're riffing on. Again, it's a YouTube video is what this ends up. I'm sorry. It's a YouView video that it looks like they're just trying to smack together using tools they have at home. And Danny Trejo knows somebody who knew somebody, so he'll be in it. And that's what this felt like.
What would have been better with the interstitials with the maps is if they would have had the red line of the bus go and then stop here for like a few seconds, and then it goes a little further and then stops.
Yeah, that would have been great. That would have been great. And like a little old lady figure with a cart full of cans knocked over. I would have enjoyed that a little bit more.
That would have been a lot of fun.
Because there ain't no parody, though.
I have a trope.
Trope! Point. Go.
When the hero's best friend gives them something valuable, either an item or information, then goes off to do something routine or easy, you know they're about to die.
Yeah. Yep. That was telegraphed a mile away. Yeah.
Especially if nobody knows what that stuff is.
Right,
if it's like, I want to give you this book that I wrote that you could just read anytime, no problem. You're not in danger.
Right.
But if it's like, I want to give you this artifact that has to be deciphered that no one knows what it means.
Why does Hobo Joe have the key to the thing anyway?
Hey, don't be talking about badass brother like that.
Hobo Joe.
Klondike. Hey.
Yeah, his name was Klondike, wasn't it?
Everybody had a Vietnam name. Everybody had one.
They all kind of did. Those nicknames.
Trejo's was Biscuit, I loved.
Was it Biscuit? Was it?
It was Biscuit. Yes. Yeah, it was Biscuit.
Why was it Biscuit? It was Biscuit.
I don't know. Hobo Joe kept calling him Biscuit.
Okay. I wish they would have shown us.
Klondike and Biscuit are about to get drunk.
I wish they would have shown us the period of time between when he started the hot dog stand and when he. And when
the slider place
took all his business, I want to know when he got all the tats, when he got all the scars, like what happened between those two times.
You know, he took my backup plan, because that's always been my backup plan. If I can't do anything else, I can sell hot dogs in the street.
Yeah, why not, right. dude? I got and a friend who does this and makes good money, actually.
And then the trope we were just talking about is a whole other take everything you got. The whole you took all the family I had left.
Yeah.
Trope, right?
Yeah.
Like he even says, I only had my brother and they killed him. Like, wow, you're the Punisher now.
Yeah.
Did I get confused, or was there a serious chick in the bucket?
Who? I love these. Who is our chick in the bucket?
Klondike, did he not just say that when he was there that his boy was in the other room?
Hold on.
Excuse me.
Okay, that's today's theme for chick in the bucket.
Didn't Klondike say, oh, me and my boy are going to stay with you? Because it was nice to let us stay with you.
Oh, he did say us, didn't he?
Didn't he say that? And he said, oh, he was in there jerking it or something. So,
yeah.
I don't think that at all.
I don't think the jerking it part happened, but.
Did he just like.
I do remember him saying, thank you for letting us stay here. I do remember that. But now that you say it, I don't know who he meant. I don't know who. I just assumed you meant him.
I thought he meant the kid next door. I'm like, did y'all change something up somewhere along the ways? Was he supposed to be originally in the house with Trejo, and then they decided to move it next door or something? It was odd.
That's an interesting question. There are probably other chicks in a bucket too that I just can't remember. I feel like the cop buddy was a chick in the bucket, but he kept showing up though.
It cracked me up.
But he kept going up, going, hey buddy, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just walking around doing stuff. Oh, that sounds great. We'll see you later. Right.
No, what every was- time it was, come on a ride along. No, I don't want to. Come on a ride along, asshole.
Yeah, what? Right? What
the, like every single time.
He was pretty insistent. All right. So one last thing I was going to say about Charles Dutton. I don't want to forget him.
Love him.
I do like him a lot. And I liked him in Mimic when we saw him in that. And I like him in this. He's not great in this, but, you know, whatever. It's a familiar face and it's good. He was dressed like that dude in that commercial for that Alabama in the market. It's like a mini mall.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
And I couldn't get it out of my head the whole time he was on screen.
You can see that.
It's a market. You know what I mean? You know the one?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Annoying as hell.
Just like a mini
mall.
Yeah. I don't know what you call that outfit, but it looked really bad on Charles S. Dutton.
He looked awful.
Well, CeeLo wears stuff
Trejo's,
like that.
Yeah, Trejo's wardrobe was awesome, though, right?
No, he looked awful, too. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd seen the YouTube video before, you know, the original.
It's this guy.
And so I expected him to look like that.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't expect Charles S. Dutton.
There you go.
Living rooms, bedrooms, dinettes. Oh, yeah.
You can find them at the market. That's totally him, dude. That's freaking
That's what you wear when you meet with Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman's a great, that's a great lyric for that. It fits. Nice job. Okay, so let's say the whole final bus scene, train, all that was stolen from Red Heat. We know that already. Sure, okay. Stolen, I guess. I assume somebody gave him permission. Whatever.
Who knows? Michael Bay said, yeah, sure, it's fine.
They had to call it Red Pete.
It's not
or
my
something.
Movie, but go ahead. You got my permission.
Yeah, go ahead. You have my permission. I've done this. You can do this. Perlman, not Perlman. The final train scene. My problem with it wasn't that it was reused, and I knew this going in. My problem is it made no sense to me.
Sure.
There was no physical... there was no properties of human known universe physics at play. When did that thing get on the tracks? When did that happen anyway? At what point were they going side by side next to each other on train tracks and then get turned around and come straight at each other, chicken style or freaking joust style? And at what point did him turning off of that road to avoid it, that was Trejo, mind you, and Dutton staying on the road... When did that road turn into tracks?
The typical mm-hmm. villain thing of saying, I'm just going to stare at you. I'm going 70 miles an hour, but I'm going to keep looking out the side of this bus and pointing at you like, boy, aren't you stupid. And,
Yeah, that was bad.
I couldn't tell if they were trying to be funny, but after seeing Homeboy's list of movies he's done, the director, they kept making sure you knew they were going like 30.
Yeah.
In the bus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just look at that guy's picture. And I don't like to judge things on the cover, right? I like to know a little bit more about a person. But if you look at that director's photo on IMDb, he's a real yokester. Yeah, he's just like, hey, you guys, you know it'd be funny.
You have no idea. Now you're looking at the IMD with his sunglasses on. If you watch the interview with him, he's a little bit cross-eyed.
Yeah, well, his eyes are really close together.
I don't like to make fun of people's appearances like Scott. It was really kind of disturbing.
Yeah, he's a little weird looking. Whatever. I'm not, you know, again, we're all a little weird looking. I'm a freak. I have an idea of what his personality is like, and I'm probably right. All right. I think that's it for all that. Unless you guys have something else you want to do clips? Should we do clips?
We should do clips.
Got a shitload.
Wow, really?
Yeah, more than I expected. Like I walked away going, did I really count from? There are a lot of short ones, but
I want to ask you, do you try to only ever capture clips in line in real time?
I do it all in real time. So
ever go back like, oh, I got to get that?
No, here's how it works, guys. And this is a cool little behind the scenes look that people at home may be interested in. So here's how it works. When I watch these movies, I do not do it in front of a TV or whatever. I'm in front of a computer screen, and I have an audio capture happening the entire time I watch the movie. So I've got a 2-hour chunk of whatever. And as it's recording and as it's playing, something funny will get said or something I want to capture will get said. Pause the movie, go over to the audio, isolate the chunk I liked that just happened, export that out, move on, keep recording. So it's kind of a weird DVR kind of thing that I'm doing in real time. So I never have to rewind and capture anything.
Right.
I just do it as I go.
I wonder if your enjoyment of a movie is ever affected by that stop and start.
I'm sure of it.
Interruption kind of stuff.
I'm sure of it.
I don't think it happened in this case.
No. No, it may have enhanced it. Honestly,
this explains Scott's constant complaint that these movies just keep to skip around.
They're so long.
It does happen. But in a case like this, there are actually enough funny lines. I felt like they were funny at the time that I seemed to just go crazy with it. Like this one where we get to, for the first time, as far as I know, hear Danny Trejo cry on camera. So here's that moment. There you go. We all feel a little better about ourselves.
That was uncomfortable when I watched
that. Kind of was a little bit. Yeah. You don't want to see Danny Trejo cry. It's not supposed to be possible.
No.
Here's another one.
You got balls, old man. That's respectable.
Okay.
You got balls, old man.
Wow. All right.
Hate this news guy with all the passion I can muster while Trejo's sitting there with somebody who's clearly probably younger than him, but is supposedly his mother. But that's fine. Whatever. I can look past it. I don't like this news guy who's talking to him.
Now, you've been deemed a hero, Mr. Vega. How does that make you feel, especially at your age?
Oh, can we get a little more ageist in this movie?
And this happened also later when the TV announcer, the anchor woman, is describing the whole thing. But why do people in movies who play anchormen and anchorwomen who are telling the story about the character in the movie always sound like they're auditioning to be on the news? Like, like over exaggerating. Today in Los Angeles, this happened.
I don't know why it's like that. It annoys me to no end, though. I don't even like it when they use real, like when you'll see a movie, like RoboCop had people from Entertainment Tonight on.
Remember that? Yeah, right.
Even that, like, just let them do what they do. Don't force a weird acty thing out of them.
Sure.
Some movies do that. Like Wolf Blitzer is pretty good in some movie we saw recently. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, but Bill O'Reilly's been in a couple of movies as Bill O'Reilly doing his thing.
And it's good. It's it comes off as realistic and you're like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then also it's a guy I know and recognize. It's not some fakery or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they don't do that more. I mean, I feel like it's not even worth complaining about here because this guy sucks. He's not good at making movies. So whatever. Here you go. Here's, oh, hey, it's that one guy. You guys recognize his voice.
And the life breath returned to the Lord who gave it.
That guy's usually a pissed off cop or
Matt.
He's inventing
conclusions that you jump to.
Who, what, wait, what do we know him from?
Office Space.
Oh, Office Space. Yeah. Wait, what? Really?
That's what I was just quoting.
The thing that Randy was talking about, the mat where you jump to conclusions and he gets hit. He's killing himself in his garage and backs out and gets hit by a truck.
Okay, that guy. But I know him from lots of other things too.
Oh, he's been lots of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I clearly have not seen Office Space enough recently. I need to watch that again. I love that movie. Okay, it's that guy. So here's this crappy, what? Oh, this is a really crappy will to get from your mom. Check this one out. So when your mom dies, hope this isn't what's read by your lawyer.
I, Juanita Lube Vega, bequeath my China pattern, stainless steel cutlery, and Ginsu knives to my favorite charity.
Ginsu knives, dude.
He doesn't even get Ginsu knives.
Well, he got a house full of booze.
Should have been called sad ass.
Yes. It's never occurred to me that if I went through all my possessions and ranked them by their value, my knives would actually be way up there.
Would they? Right. You have some good knives?
Yeah.
What do you, I'm interested in this. What do you do? What are you mostly using your knives for? Just general
the kitchen,
cutlery?
The kitchen knives. Yeah. Okay. We're talking about things, you know, used to cook. Like they're.
There is nothing like a good knife.
Are you cutting cans? What are you doing?
No. Oh, gosh. I hate that. Every time
tomato just like this.
Yeah. You know what? There's no knife that goes through a tomato just like that. There's nothing. Until lightsabers come along, tomatoes are the hardest thing to cut ever.
Yeah.
They're juicy.
Depends. And also, I mean, it very much depends on the tomato and what time of year you get it and all that. But I always just feel like if you can't get a good knife in the kitchen, then you're no good in there. Like you need
a good
knife.
Good.
Right. Right. Cooking is half cutting and knives are what you cut with.
There you go. All right, here's something I don't remember what.
Hoo-ah! Holy shit!
I don't remember what that was for.
I think that was him opening up the liquor cabinet.
Oh, right.
It was.
All right, because he followed that up with this.
And he found out that his mama.
Sorry, go
he
ahead.
He found out that his mom owned one bottle of every different kind of liquor you could ever have. Like, it was such a weird assortment of...
Ah, my mother's an alcoholic. Sweet!
That's right.
She had a real problem. Woo!
And no beer, except for like a 24-pack of Negro Modelo.
Yeah, right. Indeed. Here you go. Here's this.
Yeah, thank you, mama.
There you go. He's real excited.
Thank you, mama.
All right, here's some bad acting. The first of many, but I don't remember the scene.
Klondike, you ambassador of the only family I got. You saved my life. I owe you.
Oh, jeez.
I owe you. I owe you.
That wasn't
That's
good.
Like, I owe you. Weird.
All right, more really bad acting.
Hey, you don't got no money, man. Did you say something, old man? Hey, why don't you guys just leave?
Why don't you guys just get out of here?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty bad, I mean. All right.
I loved it.
Little kid.
You a tough-ass geezer.
I like that line.
You a tough-ass geezer.
It's about the only line that you could probably play from that kid, isn't it?
Yeah, he was pretty bad.
There's a lot of 90s. He kept pulling 90s stuff out.
Oh, big time. And he kept referring to the 90s as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Stupid kid. Okay, here's a trope clip. So racism subplot.
Klondike was a different shade. You'd already probably caught the bastards.
Are you inferring I'm a racist, Mr. Vega?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, so
no, that's not what inferring means.
Yeah.
I wish he'd said that.
Yeah. He should. He could have.
A racist?
Well, instead he reminded him that he was Indian.
No, I'm implying you're a racist, and I'm also implying that you don't know how to use language.
There you go.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Now go play some trash ball in the break room.
That's pretty good. Okay, horrible, maybe my least favorite rap song I've ever heard played anywhere.
Love that
Here
song.
It is. I'm a bad ass. I'm a bad ass. I'm a bad ass. I'm a bad ass. That goes on for a while.
there is so much 2007 faux Timbaland music in this movie.
Mm-hmm. What's going on with that? What do you think? Was that a big deal?
I just wish there was more Magoo in there.
Hey, have you guys noticed? I'm sorry, this is a side note, but every movie I ever see where it involves somebody walking into a bar / club / strip joint, the song playing when they walk in will be "Jump, Jump, Everybody Jump, right. Jump, Wee, Wee." That one, you know the one.
Oh, yeah.
Every movie. Yeah, the Sugar or not Sugar Hill Gang. Who is it?
Cypress Hill.
Every song or every bar in every movie has that playing in it since the song came out. I think that's weird.
Jump.
I just saw something with that in there, and I don't remember.
It's funny
it
because every time I go into a real bar / nudie place / chicken wing place, they play that song.
That's everywhere down where you live.
Right.
I understand. Okay, here's some half swearing for you.
You go tell that son of a bitch. He's got three kids and a wife wondering when the hell he's coming home.
So no.
The whole scene, she keeps muttering and spelling out all the curse words and then finally just gives up at the end.
Yeah.
Right. She just drops the F-bomb.
Well, she's cool with hell. She's cool with the F-bomb, but also the kid's maybe 8 months old or something
right?
in her arms.
Yeah.
They don't know what you're saying. I mean, whatever.
It was fun, though.
Here's another.
I did enjoy that scene.
I like when she just, this part, you know, my favorite.
Son of a bitch.
I'm going to hang on to that one, I think, for a while.
Because she almost says the word, but then right. she starts smelling it. The B-I.
Yeah. Here's some more of that right here.
He's got kids crying for his daddy, and he's playing basketball. Yeah, mi amor, yeah. I know you're hungry.
That's some bad acting, dude.
I know you're hungry.
And that sounded like a weasel acting like it wanted a carrot. It didn't sound like a baby.
It never occurred to me.
More spelling. She's going to spell it out for you again, though. Here you go. Right.
But if you happen to find that C-O-C-K-S-U-C-K-E-R, tell him to go fuck himself.
I had to stop to try to spell that because I was like, she went way too fast. I was like, what's C-O-C-K-E-R?
Now that sounded like parody almost.
Right.
In light of knowing who this director is, that seemed like a scene he would have filmed for one of his other dumb movies. But I don't think that's what he meant.
Why don't you ask your mama?
I like that. I really like this guy.
Okay, whoa. Wait a minute, man. Calm down. All right, he ain't here, man.
Where is he?
I don't know. He private with his shit.
That guy's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basketball court guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Highlight of the film. Too bad he wasn't treated as more of a main actor and... maybe they could have done something better. He was good.
But the basketball beat up scene ends with Badass making a 3-pointer. Seriously. It really does.
It does. Right. And I don't know how many takes it took. But
I didn't either. I was almost going to go back. If you ever noticed that they do this in the film, so they do that, they throw it just high above out of frame. Right. Out of frame that you wonder if there's not some dude sitting on top of the
there's
goal.
There's one catching it and one dropping
exactly.
it.
Right. Exactly. Two cherry picker buckets and one guy just drops it in.
Yep.
Yep.
It's pretty good. All right. Here's a great scream in this one. I don't remember what happened there. I think it's the guy with the.
Oh, that's the priest.
Oh, it's the priest.
No, that's the priest. That's the actor priest that. That comes flying in.
Right.
And then it's like, it's yet another scene where Badass gets attacked for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, man. He rolls his eyes. He doesn't really want to fight.
Yep. That sounds
but
right.
But he does.
So now tuck in, everyone, and listen to the only scene you're really going to get Ron Perlman in. So enjoy. Here you go.
I'm running for re-election in 90 days, and I got accessible, confidential information of mine out there on the streets.
I can assure you there's no problem.
Apparently, distribution of illicit things on freaking thumb drives is a real problem in L.A., I guess.
Right.
Because that's all they kept wanting to talk about, flash drives. And I got that thing coming up soon where Dutton explains what a flash drive is.
For the third time.
Oh, it's awesome. It's epic. It's like out of Wikipedia.
I was
or
hoping
something.
You caught it all three times they used it.
I
so
might have.
Compare.
I might have. I still have something to go here. We'll find out.
Let's we're see. Done here.
Oh, thanks, Ron Perlman. We'll move on to the next one. Here's old lady joke. It's pretty bad.
Oh, wonderful. I haven't had a man handle me like that in 45 years.
And then they had a laugh track at the end.
That was the best part.
I remember being like, oh, no. And then I saw it was a TV and it was a fail.
Yeah, it was a fast edit to another scene.
Irritated, right. though, by that. All right, the kid's a real jerk right here.
Did you say the bomb? What, you living in the 90s, fool?
Fool?
How would that kid 90s? Know?
Yeah,
right.
Kid's barely.
He has the internet.
It's not even Nick's age. He's probably 11.
He has the internet. He gets the YouTube.
All right. Is that what he gets? The YouTube? Yeah. No, he gets the UView. Come on, man.
UView, sorry.
Straight. Okay, stop by and say hello.
What, a friend can't stop by and say hello?
Okay, this is the guy that's supposed to be a cop. He is the best. He has the best voice of anybody in the whole stupid movie.
What, a friend can't stop by and say hello?
Listen to him here.
Come on, ride shotgun with me.
Come on.
Come on.
Hop in my car. Ride shotgun with me.
Explain what a flash drive is to me.
Yeah, can you explain it? I don't know what this is. Fang dangle computers?
Come on, ride shotgun with me.
Come on, Jerry. Ovaltine.
That guy is. He's like, it's gold, Jerry. Gold. Like he's like that guy. Banya.
He's Banyan. Yeah, he's totally Banyan.
That's great. I think it's Banya.
Is it Banya?
Yeah, I don't think it's Banya.
Oh, right. Well, sorry.
It's all right.
Was it Putty or Putty?
It's not. It's Paul Bunyan, not Paul Bunya.
Is it Putty or Putty?
Putty. P-U-D-D. P-D. Double D's, I think.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Putty.
Hey, Peter. All right, moving on. Let's do this one. How about Come Ride? Oh, I already did that one. How about this? Oh, speaking of Seinfeld, there you go.
Holy shit. I'm a huge fan.
He's that little man.
Yeah, he's the little man.
From
that's
Seinfeld. Too.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was Kramer's friend.
And I'm keeping this forever, right?
Holy
here.
Shit.
I play that all the time.
I mean, he's no Warwick Davis, but he'll do in a pinch.
I saw a great picture of Warwick Davis sitting on the knee of Carrie Fisher when he was playing the Ewok,
yeah.
And he was 11 in that movie. I didn't know he was so young.
Yeah, he was super young. I
mean, he's basically our age, roughly now, just in his early 40s. But he was such a little kid. It was really weird to see that.
Can't wait until the show comes back on.
By the way, just a note about that. If you're following Chewbacca, what's his name? Who plays Chewbacca?
Peter Mayhew.
Peter Mayhew's Twitter handle. He is posting all of these crazy, candid, behind-the-scenes photos.
It's totally cool.
Stuff nobody's seen before. Some of it has, but a lot of it is brand new. Like a shot of Han Solo shooting himself with his own gun. It's great.
Is it all like really high views?
No. Oh, I see what you mean. All from his perspective.
Right.
Nicely done.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. What else we do got? Oh, here's the,
Holy shit.
Nope, not that one. Sorry. Here's the horrible one-liner about the hand.
I want to thank you for giving me a hand.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. And then, like you said, he also goes, I hope you're a righty.
Yep. Yep. This is what I said last time I went to Marie Callender's.
Oh, shit. Pa!
There you go. I still love that place. Oh, my gosh. In
that's
going
to be in our food montage, like our food testing.
Oh, shit. Pa!
That's pretty good. Okay. So somebody asked me, Brian Ebbett, asked me.
Yes.
Like you're confused about what someone said. What's a flash drive to you? Or they said, here, get it on my flash drive. You didn't know what that was. How would you ask me to explain it to you?
Sure. Scott, what is a flash drive?
Let me tell you.
It's an inch long storage device that uses solid state memory to store persistent data from your computer.
Dumbass.
Wow.
Did you read that on Wikipedia?
That was said so many
Commando
times.
All of a sudden.
that was said Commando. So many times this movie that I wondered if we were like, advertising for PNY,
right?
I work for Lexar.
It's pretty great. Although the inch, like there's some requirement about it being an inch. That's,
yeah, mine's yeah, mine's super short
and
now.
They're only colored silver.
That's right. Someone captured Brian saying mine's really short. Can you do that for me?
I said super short.
What kind of laugh is this? That's pretty good.
Wow. I don't know. No idea what kind of laugh that is.
It's one that gets followed up with things like this. Charles Dutton earning his $50 or whatever.
Totally.
I love that Charles Dutton was the only person that was able to kick his butt.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, final clip. It's something about enjoying the bus.
I got to take your bus. It's a matter of life and death.
You're like that badass dude, right?
Yeah.
Take it. It's yours, man. You're awesome. I love you, man. You're the best. Enjoy the bus.
Enjoy the bus.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure that was the director.
Hey, you're Rebecca Black. You're the Fridays girl.
I just
take
gave
my car.
Grumpy Cat the keys to my house. Have fun.
Hey, Piano Cat, you can have anything you want.
Here's my wife.
You're the don't tase me bro guy.
Like other things you would give away, right? Like Merton, here, have my piano.
Yeah. Exactly.
was that, I'm serious, it seemed like he was the director. I went back and thought that was the director, but I think the director was a little bit goofier than that.
Could be.
Because he kept, whoever it was, kept looking back towards like the camera.
Stone explains a lot. You guys getting this? You guys getting this? Yeah.
Getting it?
All right. The most important file.
Oh, shit. Pa!
That's the most important one. I think we could vote that one in. All right. That's it for clips.
Yes,
and
Craig Moss was the uncredited, generous bus driver.
There you go.
Was it?
The director.
Ah.
Nice. Nice catch, yep. Dude. How'd you find that? Was that in the trivia?
It's under the rest of cast listed alphabetically.
Ah, gotcha.
On IMDb.
All right. It's time for the checklist. Sweet use of alternate brand names in the intro. Check. Kid next door who knows computers has Windows XP installed. Check. It's in 2012,
but has never
mind
seen
you.
An episode of Different Strokes.
Nope. But he knows what the 90s are. CGI fire because it's cheaper. Check. Star Trek connections. We got Ron Perlman as Major Williams. He's Riemann Viceroy in the Star Trek Nemesis film, which I think is, I'll state again for the record, is way underrated and totally fun to watch. Except maybe the B4 sub-storyline thing. I hate that part.
Yeah.
Richard Ryle is Father Miller. He's the guy we were talking about earlier from your Office Space. He's on TNG, played Bataille in the episode The Inner Light on Voyager.
Oh, yes, right.
Did. Yes.
That's right.
Yes, he's Picard's best friend in the alternate lifeline.
That's just where I saw him recently and couldn't place it. That's it, because I just watched that. Voyager played, he doesn't have the mustache in that, which is a little bit weird. Voyager, you played Seamus in the episode Fair Haven and Spirit Folk, two episodes. Enterprise, you played Dr. Jeremy Lucas in the episodes Cold Station 12 and The Augments. I like that name, The Augments. Richard Fabian was the officer Malark. I assume he's the guy that wanted him to ride everywhere with him. Not sure, though.
Must be, yeah.
Voyager played the role of Taman, the favorite son, or the episode Favorite Son. Merlick, Marlark, Malark?
Anyway,
I'm trying to think if it was the Indian guy or him. I don't know which one. Mm. Soundtrack great. I'd give it an M for meh, but I like the intro song. That got me excited. And then
like I say, there were two things going on here. There was Spanish and there was club.
Yeah.
And the club was just bad.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised they didn't do Bodies Hit the Floor, but they didn't because they couldn't afford it or something?
Yeah.
Like I thought that was free.
Is it free now? They get so much play, you'd think.
Right.
That and that, what's that song, Brian, I always make fun of?
Filter?
Woohoo! No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, song number two by Blur.
Yeah, that's the one.
Song two!
all right, let's get to the Twitter post. This is 140 characters or less from each of one of you. Trying to sum up this film the best way you can, let's start with Randy.
Badass, brought to you by George Foreman, YouTube, the state of California, and Viagra that you inject right into your long muscles.
Your long muscles. Great. Next up, Brian Dunaway.
Badass. Seriously, can one of you guys come pick me up? My backup plan of selling hot dogs at the bus station to get home fell through. What? No, I don't want any Viagra.
Yeah.
Nice callback.
Yeah, nice job. Don't do drugs either. Brian Ibbett.
Badass. To bring you this high-octane, non-stop entertainment, the director spared many expense.
Spared all expense. All right, just handed to me in an envelope right here. We have the alternate title. And it is either, you guys get to choose, quote, there's way less action in this than you thought, or Fidel Castro is not dead, and I know where he's hiding. Emails you guys wrote in and asked us questions. Here's one. Would you ever consider sacking the Bruce Willis Richard Gere classic The Jackal?
Yeah.
Throwing that word classic around a little too freely with that.
With
I don't
the
think
blonde,
that was...
blonde German Bruce Willis, wasn't he?
Yep.
Some yeah.
He was definitely blonde. I don't remember the German part. Maybe. The last gunfight was filmed in the subway station I visit every day. I usually decide how good a Willis movie can be by how good his hair is in the poster. Same thing for Nick Cage movies. In this regard, The Jackal does not disappoint. Anyway, I just wanted to say that although I may never get to go to Nerdtacular to shake your hands or congratulate you guys on the fine work you do, you have a fan for life in me, and I'm always spreading the word about you guys. Virtual high fives all around from a dude in Montreal, Canada. We don't live in igloos, but I'm pretty sure 5 years ago, you could still smoke in a church. This comes to us from Etienne, pronounced, A-T-N, so pronounced
Etienne.
Etienne.
Yeah. Etienne.
It's a very French-Canadian name, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Sort of?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks, man. That was really nice. And you should come. Why not? Come see us. Shake our hands and be here with us. That'd be fine. We'd love it.
Please do.
By the way, I just want to let our younger listeners know that back in, 1994, George Foreman won the World Heavyweight Championship at age 45.
Yep.
Just, right. But, George Foreman, he was actually a famous boxer.
Hell of like, a fighter, too.
Then the, and it was the, like, I feel like it was a big inspiration for stories like this, for movies like this, that some, you know, even at 45, the guy he was fighting was 20 years younger than him.
Yeah.
You know, and like, people came to believe, and it's been the way ever since, that old dudes, it's okay if you put an old dude in the ring. At the time, everybody thought he was going to get killed, but no, he fought for 3 more years. He didn't retire till he was 48.
Yeah.
Until he got tired of selling grills.
That's right. He's still not tired of that. I really like The Rookie for that reason, that movie, The Rookie, which is about that real player whose name I forget. But yeah, don't kick the old guy. He's not out yet.
Right. Don't never discount the old man's strength.
No.
Old man's strength is so for real.
Oh, dude, totally. They've got some experience behind that punch. They know what they're doing. Fett wrote in from Slave One. He sent an email from Slave One.
Wow, nice.
We just watched that last night. I love Empire Strikes Back so much. Fett says, in episode 188, the one about Chud. That was our last episode.
That was recent.
You were all talking about...
It's so good to
me dead. Well, sort of our last episode. Wait, what'd you just... Oh, you just did really good. You know what they did, though? I have the enhanced or whatever newer thing.
Yeah.
Chad.
The 1080p one, whatever it is. And they have the dude what played all the clone troopers doing that voice now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've changed it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
so it's no longer Jeremy...
Nope.
What was that guy's name? Oh.
He goes, he's no good to me, Dad.
Now it's the the New Zealand guy.
Yeah, the New Zealand guy is him now. And they did a bunch of that. They had you know how there used to be a different emperor who popped in on the thing? Right, it's totally the new guy now.
Wow.
Coming and going.
Thanks a lot, Lucas.
Lord Vader. It's not too egregious. Like, that film was the least messed with, I think, of all of them.
Right.
But it's not that
Next
bad.
Next thing you know, he'll be taking away the lightsabers and giving them flashlights.
You know what they ought to do? Okay, that movie has Cliff Clavin in it, right?
Right.
Yes. Right. So here's what that movie should have done. They went and put new voices on top of Fett and everybody else and changed some of the stormtroopers to sound like Fett and everything now. Why couldn't they make Cliff sound like his real voice instead of the voiceover now? So, he's still out there in the snow somewhere.
Han Solo just went out to Catan to go find Luke. And, you know, of course, Tauntaun's actually originated over on Alderaan.
I would love it. And then he could still glance at Leia, who's all upset about whatever he's saying, and it would still work. It would still work.
The New Zealand guy, by the way, that's Cliff Curtis, right?
Yeah.
All right. I think Ibbot ought to dub it.
He's and by the way, nothing wrong with Cliff Curtis, but why do you got to get a hair so far up your butt, Lucas, that you got to go retro change that voice for everybody? Yeah, that's just really weird.
Was there somebody saying, now I'm kind of confused. Is that the same guy who is in the Mandalorian armor? Right.
Yeah.
So you're saying his mom has catalyst all this thing then? There,
he's retrofitting it is what he's doing, and it bugs me.
That's right. Okay, Jeremy Bullock was in the suit, and either Don Bees or Nelson Hall, Don Bees or Nelson Hall did the voice. So
Don Rickles back in the day.
Don Rickles, sure.
Yeah. Hey, he's no good to me, Dad. Yeah. That's not a very good Don Rickles.
Hockey puck.
Yeah. Fett says, in episode, I already did this. He says, Minority Report. We talked about, we all have our own Minority Report, right? Like movies that we consider to be ours. Right. And I was surprised Scott's movie wasn't that he wasn't the one he brought up several times and discussed, Nothing But Trouble. And he's right. I hate that movie, maybe worse than any movie I've ever seen. I really hate that movie.
The one with Tim Allen and...
This is the one with
Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd, Jesus. Chevy Chase, Moore. It's bad. John Candy, it's just bad. He says, a very sackable movie, and besides, how else will Humpty Dumpty ever make it on a film sack?
Humpty Hump.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I could do it. Maybe this helps me commiserate with Dunaway a bit on Minority Report. But
yeah, I sat through Johnny Mnemonic again. I think we each have a movie that we have to watch. That
is Nothing But Trouble streaming. That's the question.
It's our Achilles
Please
heel.
Tell me it's not. Please tell me they pulled
it. Never streaming. I mean, it's always streaming.
Speaking of Dan Aykroyd and John Candy, The Great Outdoors is streaming.
I watched it. Fantastic.
I did. I think it sucks.
I watched it the other night, and it held up. I was shocked.
You guys are all wrong. You're all wrong. It sucks.
Big Bear chased me.
It's not good. It doesn't hold up.
Scott.
I watched it too. I watched it with the kids. I'm like, come on, you guys, watch an old classic.
Does Scott not like Dan Aykroyd?
I love Dan Aykroyd. You want to know one of my, this is the truth.
Okay.
My top three favorite characters of all time is Grocer from Gross Point Blank, the hitman he plays in that movie. Love Dan Aykroyd. Love the first Ghostbusters, but I hated The Great Outdoors.
I can't believe Nothing But Trouble came out in 91. I could have sworn that was rooted firmly in the 80s.
Oh, it's only available on DVD.
Oh, that's okay. You know what?
Too bad.
I saw on Amazon. I think I'm going to buy it and send everybody a copy.
Oh, don't do that. But I'm all, you know what? I would do it for the show. You know, like if we had to, I'd do it. But I have a request here. Thank you, Fett, by the way. I have a request for us to do live on the show right now. We're going to make this decision right now. Swayze movie, Roadhouse, is getting pulled at the end of the month.
Oh, really?
I think we bump that one in for our next movie.
I agree.
Because we can't miss it the third time. This is three times now we would have had it come and go, and we didn't jump on it. So I know we have other stuff ahead of it. What say we all about next week doing Roadhouse instead of whatever the hell we had? Okay. Randy, you cool with Roadhouse?
I'm editing our list right now.
All right, fantastic.
I say that we do it because sometimes there's a time to be nice, and there's, I don't know what the line is, something like that. Not so nice, something.
Week we're watching Roadhouse. Coming up after that, later in the year 2014, we're going to watch the adaptation of the Michael Crichton book Timeline.
Yes. Paul, with the late Paul Walker in there. He's in it, I think.
We're gonna watch what will then become our most recently produced film, The Last Stand, starring Johnny Knoxville and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's right. Yeah. It's just a year old. The Last Stand is streaming. We're going to watch that one.
Good, the Bad, the Weird director did that, which I really quite liked, but I keep hearing that I will not like this, so we'll see, I guess.
We are 11 episodes away from big episode 200. It's going to be really interesting to see what we choose to watch there.
Still haven't picked it, I guess, have we?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, it will not be Better Off Dead or Trouble or whatever it is. More than
Nothing but Trouble.
Nothing but Trouble, and it won't be Minority Report unless I have my way. I would love that.
Unless I have my
puke
way.
Sticks, man. Come now. On, Dunaway.
Yes.
Oh, I would totally. Yeah. For I mean, 200? I'm not
going to. I don't know. I feel like 200 has to be special.
I'm not going to watch it. I mean, but I'll talk about it.
It's got to be big. Like, when is someone ever going to stream Back to the Future movies? Like, when is that going to happen? There are so many classics we haven't hit yet that aren't out there. So, I don't know. Keep your eyes open.
I'll tell you another one I'm excited about, which is the original Amityville Horror. We've got that one. Down the road here.
That'd really be good. Excited. I do not remember that at all. I know I saw it, but I don't remember a thing. That'll be fun to rewatch. But more as we know it, folks, we'll let you know well in advance. But that's going to do it for us. We're done this week. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week again with Roadhouse, the Swayze classic Roadhouse. and we'll be back to talk about that more. In the meantime, go to filmsack.com because that's a thing you can do. And why is that playing funny? Hold on. Sorry. Oh, no. Don't play that. What are you? Okay. Sorry.
That's a little early.
Yes. So do that. Go to filmsack.com. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find us @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that. Thanks again for all the voting. And we're really happy to receive the award for Best Movie and Film Podcast for 2013. We're excited about 2014. From me, from Brian, and from Randy. See you next time.
I told you, don't sack with me.
Shit pie or something.
Or something.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.